This is Butch Thompson, head baseball coach of the Auburn Tigers. You're listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast, War Eagle.
White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 657.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! Welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, as well as by people like you. You right there in Auburn land. Yes, you that I'm pointing to right now, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family. You are our very own Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we have tackle football to talk about. We have tackle football on the Auburn Jordan-Hare Stadium field to discuss.
It's exciting to once again talk about real football in the off-season whatever.
We won. We won a tackle football game.
Van, winning is good, and I like it.
It's a new thing, but I'm hoping it's something we can get used to in the future.
It has been a minute.
It has. I think numerous national federal holidays have come and gone, and I include like Halloween last year.
Arbor Day.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them since we last won a football game. So that's encouraging that we won, and I feel good about it. And I got to tell you this, and we're going to talk about the game in just a minute. Don't you worry, folks. We're going to talk about the Mercer game. We're going to talk about the upcoming San Jose State game. We got a little bit of kind of college football news to lead off with, but I'll say this, John. I think that we have seen enough now of this Auburn team on the field in competition against Mercer. We have seen enough now to be confident that they can be competitive in the FCS.
I'll agree with that statement.
Yeah. And that's good, I guess.
You got to start somewhere.
Well, all right. Here's the thing that kept rolling around in my head about this game all weekend and our season last year and our season this year. This is a sad thing to say, and I think it's very important that I preface. It's funny that we just talked about let's not make this show go on all night. I think it's very important that I preface this by saying I was ready for Gus Malzahn to move on in the 2016 season. It's so funny. Every time I say anything nice about Gus on social media, if I say that he had a nice haircut, you know, or if I say I like the trim of his visor or something, people are like, you know, I wanted him fired in 2018, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I wanted him fired in 2016, so good for you. I can still say something nice about him. It happens over and over and over. But here's the thing. I can say that. I didn't want him to stay any longer. I was ready. We've talked ad nauseum. Our regular listeners have heard this forever. I'm not going to repeat it. I just don't want to say what I'm about to say and then have to have people come back at me and say, you know, Gus sucks. Gus wasn't any good. Gus ruined the team. Gus ruined us. You know, I know how you all feel about that. I have certain feelings about it too. That's not where I'm going with this. Now, here's what I'm going to say. We are currently in year two of a new coach trying to get us back up to the heights that Gus Malzahn had us at every year.
Fair.
Yeah. And fair. I mean, we're hoping he will. We are hoping that either this season or in the next couple of seasons, by the end of his third or fourth season, Auburn's football record and results will be back to where they were every season under Gus Malzahn, pretty much. Correct?
Or beyond.
Well, you gotta swim, you gotta walk before you can run, and we're crawling right now.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So we are hoping that he can get us back up. We're hoping that Harsin can get us back up to where Malzahn used to have us. Now, we dream of going beyond that, but we got to get back to that before we can go beyond it, and at least in quality, because that would then lead to the record. So I just find it interesting when the same people that would attack Gus Malzahn for going 9-4 or 8-5, right, are now utterly defending Harsin for, you know, 6-7 and whatever. So I'm rooting for him, man. I hope we go 14-15-0, whatever the number is this year. It changes every year now. And we got something to say about that in just a second. I'm hoping we go undefeated. I am not the kind of fan that ever roots against my own team so that I get what I want with the coach. I would never, ever, ever, never, never, ever do that. But I just find it interesting that the same people that were criticizing Gus Malzahn for winning 9 games are defending Harsin for winning 5. It ticks me off. Just play fair is all I'm asking. Just be fair. So that's my little thing. I've been wanting to say that for days. We have a little bit of college football news.
Very briefly, 2 quick things. The first is, while we were away since our last podcast, the playoff expanded to 12 teams. It's going to happen for sure in 2026, but it could happen as soon as next year. My favorite part of this is that they're going to be playoff games in home stadiums for college football teams. Like, the first round is going to be played at home sites, which mm-hmm. is awesome and is going to be absolutely spectacular, and I can't wait. I hope they do it sooner. And in the big picture, the other thing is, this is good for Auburn. Yeah, Auburn play with the schedule we play. If we go 9-3, we can make a 12-team playoff. So you can write yes. that down.
Yes, yes. I imagine the conversation went something like this. SEC, we'd like a 12-team playoff. Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, whatever, ACC. Oh, you want 12 teams so you can get more SEC teams in. We vote no. Veto, veto, veto. Ha, 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 ha. SEC, actually, we wanted 12 teams so that everybody could possibly get a couple of teams in, and it wouldn't just be us all the time. We're going to get 2 or 3 teams in the way it is now. Every other conference. Oh, vote well, yes. And now they passed it.
Pretty much, but also, like, again, the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, they get automatic bids.
Yeah.
This literally will save their conference's existence.
Yes.
Without this, they might disappear in the next year. This vote will literally give them a reason to exist.
They could have had that before, and they pitched their little hissy fit and said no, because they're little whiny babies that think if the SEC wants it, it must be bad for everybody else, because they're idiots.
That's right.
Ugh. I'm much more fired up tonight than I expected.
We ain't got to the fired up parts yet. So, all right. So, transfer window. The other thing is they formalized it so it's not open season and it's not forever. There's like a 45-day period right after the season ends, or right after the conference championship games or whatever, in December and early January, and then there's like a week or 10 days in May after spring practice is over everywhere. And those are the only times you can enter the transfer portal and leave the transfer portal.
Until another pandemic comes along, and then it's just free for all. Everybody go wherever you want, anytime.
Well, that might happen. But the other thing is, you can only transfer once. They talked about the multiple times immediate eligibility, but you can only transfer once and be in your career and be eligible immediately.
You know the main symptoms of COVID, John: a cough, sore throat, fever. And you can transfer anywhere you want, as many times as you want. Main symptoms of COVID.
That's fair.
Well, so that's going to be interesting. I mean, is it just me, or does it feel like in the last 5 to 10 years we've lived through more turmoil and upheaval in the rules of the fundamental nature of the sport than our entire lives up until 5 or 10 years ago?
Probably.
I mean, they just keep rewriting things every year. Profoundly rewriting.
Yeah, I think... you know, if you took a fan from the early 80s and you watched a game in the early 2000s, they'd have been like, yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
No difference. Yeah.
And then now.
No, not the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in 1992, they said, we're adding Arkansas and South Carolina to SEC. And we're like, oh, my Lord in heaven, how will football survive this drastic change? And then look what's going on now. And you're just like, whatever. If they say you can get 15 downs, I'd be like, sure, I guess, you know, why not? Doing everything else. Turn it into Mario Kart, you know. They're going to have, like, buzzers on the field and ski jumps and power-ups. Yeah. Oh, heck, why not? Sure. Put it out there. Why not? All right. Well, are we ready to talk about Mercer?
We are ready.
It's Mercer Bears Hate Week 2022.
Oh. It worked, John. It worked. We rang him up for 42 because of that sound clip.
We definitely hated Mercer.
We did. Did we hate him enough?
I think so.
Yeah.
We hated them the appropriate amount.
We hated him so much that God Almighty reached down and gave us a lightning storm that delayed the game until like ended at like 2 a.m. Eastern time. So, yeah, that was great. Great. Glad that we could do that. I came back to the hotel and knew that the lightning delay was happening. I'm like, oh, good. I'm going to get in bed. Mira's going to go to sleep over in her bed, and I'm going to crawl into mine and make a little fort and watch it on my phone. And I watched the commercial until I was sick of it, and I switched over and watched something else. And I came back to it, and I waited, and at like 12:33 a.m. Eastern time, it started back up, and then I fell asleep instantly. As soon as Tank ran that touchdown in, I was out. So I had to watch it like every moment that I've had since Saturday night, Sunday morning, has been watching the game, watching the Formula One race, and watching the IndyCar race. I've squeezed all of them in on replay in between classes today, you know, and before I went to bed last night. I've just been getting little 10-minute clips of these things. So it's weird when you're traveling, you know, and you're really busy to get all these things. It's what I always say. It's like my busiest travel week of the year is also the busiest college football and other sports week of the year for me. And it just really is a little much. It's enough entertainment for like a month, not a weekend, you know. So, but at least it wasn't like we started out with Arkansas or Ole Miss or something this year. So I didn't feel... You know what I mean? Like, if it was a game I thought was going to be competitive, I'd have been chewing my fingernails off, and I'd be watching the games during my other activities. But I felt like they didn't need me. They had the sound clip. I had done my part. Dear Lord, what more could I do than that, you know? So, but yeah, all right. So, what did you think about this game?
Overall, again, the game was always in Auburn's control. There was never a doubt. There was never a man Mercer's hanging around and going to make something out of this. And I think at times the game was fun. Auburn could play better. It wasn't perfect on either side of the ball. And then especially we had the two interceptions and then the long light delay. And then we played a little sloppier when we came back. And so that kind of left a little bit of a not as good taste in your mouth as right. you had in the first, you know, third of the game, I would say.
Correct.
So that's my overall impression.
I think that the players collectively kind of knew what the deal was, right? That this team was not going to score on us much, and they didn't have to go out there and play like it was the Penn State game or Alabama or something. And I understood that. I mean, they're human beings. They're kids. But I think that we got some raw data that's useful.
Yes. We learned some things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of what we learned was about the quarterbacks. We have two quarterbacks that we played, and it's not simple or easy with that.
Because you got one that in some ways is steadier and mature and a leader and respected, but of course he's the one that made the glaring mistakes, whether or not they were his fault or something else, I don't know. And then you got the other guy that didn't happen to do anything catastrophically bad and had a couple of, you know, well, they both had almost identical long passes completed, but just Ashford had the run also. But he didn't have the catastrophic bad things. So I don't know. What is your thought about our question at quarterback now?
I think... Before the interceptions, I was feeling pretty good about Finley. Like the offense was operating well. He had players in the right position, and they were moving and, you know, scoring, and he looked fine, right? And again, Ashford played a snap here and a snap there, came in to just run the ball. He didn't really take over until it was like 35-7. So he didn't come out there and play even against Mercer's first team from the go and – see what that's like. So it's a little bit of a different sample with him. But, I mean, you can't help but be excited about what he can do. He can run. Right. He clearly can throw. And he didn't throw interceptions.
He had a little Damian Craig going on, I thought.
Yeah. No, I mean, he looked good. And I think some of it is honestly like they're trying to make the most of the total pool of talent and ability they have on the offensive side of the ball, and throwing these guys both out there and kind of mixing and matching is the maximum thing. I think they feel like, this is what I suspect, is if you took Finley's knowledge of the offense and understanding of it and perception of reading a defense of the stuff and stuck it in Ashford's brain, he'd be good. He'd be great, right? He'd be not great, but he'd be fine. But he doesn't have that. He's not there. He's behind Finley on that curve just because of experience and stuff. And so if Finley can operate the offense better, he can see the defense better, get everybody lined up better and all that. And Ashford can make some plays individually, but, you know, I think they're probably concerned about if they put him out there and he has to throw it 25 times, what's going to happen?
The thing I look at in a game like this, when we do something well, I think to myself, would we have done that against Ole Miss, against Arkansas, against Georgia? And when we do something bad, I think we probably would have done that twice against one of them. So, you know, throwing two interceptions against Mercer is almost like throwing four interceptions against Alabama or Georgia or something, and that's disturbing. And then I don't know, some of those plays where, like, Tank was able to just go right through the Mercer defensive front like it was not even there. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if you'd be doing that against a bigger team. So, like, certainly Penn State coming up. So, just try to take it all with a grain of salt is all I'm saying. Just don't read too much into it, folks. But I did want to point out that Robbie Ashford, in addition to running the ball, having a long run, and having a long pass, our network co-host Jared, the yard sale artist, Albrecht, he pointed out that to me this afternoon. He sent me a text and showed me that Robbie Ashford he handed off or on like a reverse or a sweep or something and was completely off the screen, right? The TV wasn't even showing him. And as the player, whoever it was, turned upfield, Ashford comes sprinting in from off camera 1,000 miles an hour and blows a defender off his feet onto his back to spring the player, the ball carrier, for more room, for more yards. That'll get you some notice in the film room, I'm thinking, when they go back and break down film.
Oh, yeah. The players want to see that. They want to see that out of their quarterback, that he went down and made a good block. So, and it was hustle.
Well, I mean, Finley had a good block on one of the reverses, but it was more like he's just big and kind of like he just kind of shoved a guy, got in the guy's way, and that's fine. Ashford looked like the Flash coming in from another state at 100 miles an hour, you know, and took a guy out. I mean, you know, he looked like, what was his name, Peterson, that the LSU used to have, that came in chasing Cam, you know, came from left, from
Patrick
stage
Peterson,
left.
Yeah.
Patrick, he looked like Patrick Peterson from stage left coming in all of a sudden, like, where did that guy come from? Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So how are you feeling then about the quarterback situation? What do you think is going to happen for San Jose State? Same situation for another week?
Yes, same thing, but maybe again, I think they'll divide the playing time a little better. I think the weather break screwed up all their substitution plans. I think it'll be make a little more sense, but I think they're both going to play, and I think they're going to put them both in a position to succeed, and then we'll see what happens. I don't think they're going to. I mean, I think Finley's still the starter for now, but I think you have to look at it as a, you know, if he struggles at all, you got to throw Ashford out there. So.
Finley did play after the lightning delay, right?
Yes.
I thought so. I was thinking he wouldn't, but then I thought I remembered he did, yeah. Not a ton, I mean, but we didn't see. All right, so I was fast-forwarding along here, and I got through the lightning delay, but I didn't see the last couple of minutes. Did we ever get Calzada in?
No.
No, wow, never played. Okay.
We did not do a lot of, again, we didn't do nearly as much substitutions as I expected. I want to talk about this. We had the second team, we had the first team defense in the fourth quarter when it was 35-7. I don't understand why we had Tank and the first team defense out there on a wet field when it was 35-7 against the FCS team. There's just no business for that. It did not matter. And we need to play these other guys.
Wrong.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, that does surprise me. I was figuring we were going to talk about the defense in a minute, and Cam Riley, right? I mean,
yes,
he came out of nowhere almost to like dominate statistics. Did he play the entire game? Is that how it happened?
Well, some of that, but it's also just he was everywhere. He looked like, you know, Ricochet Rabbit last year, where he was all over the field, and every time there was a ball carrier in space, regardless of how they got the ball, he was over there bringing the guy down. He was in the middle, but then they'd flare out to the side and throw a little one-yard pass, and Riley was there instantly on the guy, dragging him down. So he was sideline to sideline, and once he got his hands on him, they went down.
That's a good combination. Maneuverability and gets the job done when he arrives. He arrives with bad intentions, as they say. Mm-hmm. I did notice this quote. Now, again, take it with a grain of salt. This was Mercer, and, you know, Jarquez Hunter looked really good the first half of last season, too. So take it with a grain of salt. But I saw Cam Riley was quoted as saying that he had set his goal for the season at 50 tackles, and then he got 15 in the first game. So he's raising his expectations and that number in his head. I just want to say that's great, but don't get too excited because not every team on our schedule is Mercer. In fact, we have one of the hardest schedules, if not the hardest schedule in college football, and it's not because Mercer is on it. It is despite Mercer.
That's fair, but I thought he was good. I was impressed.
Yes.
I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, he may get 150. I don't know. I'm just saying it also may be 50. You know, it may be less than 50. We don't know just because of, but we'll see. I hope he has 150. Let's see. What else did we want to talk about this game?
The only thing I want to talk about on the offense was they ran one incredibly fun, cool play.
Okay? I bet I know what it was.
Finley's got the snap.
Yep.
Ashford was in a slot receiver.
Yep.
He threw the ball to Ashford, and then Ashford and Tank were running the option down the field after the catch. That was absolutely a really fun play, a creative play, and it was I was so happy watching it. It was like, yes, this is what I, you know, it doesn't have to be every play like that for offense, but a couple times a game, I want something fun.
The crowd loved it. I heard them like really ratchet up there, even though, I mean, it was like a 10-yard gain, and that's awesome, but the crowd's like, yeah, because it was exciting. It got everybody kind of pepped up and excited, sure. Yeah, it was really like a double handoff almost. It almost turned into like a rugby play, you know, where they go down the line, you know, until somebody's open. Because when Ashford got it and cut up field, there were two Mercer guys right in his way. He was not going to go anywhere. And so he just pitched it. He looked like Randy Campbell pitching it to Bo Jackson or Lionel James on the edge. And Tank just went, meow. And the Mercer guys went,
hey, there goes Tank.
That's right. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but also, I mean, overall, I would say Tank and Jarquez both had good games. I know it's Mercer, blah, blah, blah. But I thought they looked explosive and, you know, physical, and but also really good vision of both of them, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And only had one drop from the receivers.
I think, I mean, the one I'd see the most is the Schenker drop. Later in the game, when Ashford was a quarterback, there was another one that was, I don't know if it was a drop or not, but
encouraging. But
I thought it was encouraging. I think the receivers played solid. They didn't play unbelievable, but I think they had a good game.
So. Yeah, and that's what we needed. I mean, we needed them to be there, to have some receivers, because for a while there, it looked like we wouldn't have any this year. So we'll take them, right? Yeah. And these new exciting receivers, they didn't see much action or just didn't get the ball much, because I didn't see in the stat line much of them.
They played a lot, but they didn't get them the ball. Really, the ball was like, you know, Shedrick Jackson and Javaris Johnson and stuff. So.
That's what I was. Yeah, those are the two that I – and yeah. And Landon King never even really got anything thrown his way if he was even in the game.
I don't know if he was in the game.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I think I think they're playing him at – they in the depth chart, they're playing him at slot, right? Mm-hmm. And you got Javaris Johnson and Tarvarius Dawson, who are both probably two of the top three playmaker kind of guys on the receiver position ahead of him. So I think he's, you know, maybe he's banged up or something else is going on, but he didn't get on the field. It's weird. I really expected a lot from him this year.
I thought he was going to end up being one of our main playmakers at whatever position he played, tight end, receiver, whatever. I mean, I thought he's going to be like the relief valve, the quick play action pass guy, you know. How do you not use him unless, again, there's something that we don't know about going on? So, yeah. The offensive line, what do you think?
Solid. I mean, the new center was good. He was actually fine. It was not a problem. It wasn't a weakness. Wasn't any bad snaps. Wasn't any issues with him calling things. They substituted a lot of guys. It, you know, they played, moved guys around, played multiple guys in the offensive line. But the offensive line was fine. It, you know, they weren't unbelievable, but they were good. There was no problems. There was no obvious blown assignments or issues. And the overall thing, I want to say, you know, again, Finley threw two interceptions, but the offense itself, the execution was good. Mm-hmm. There was no first game, we don't know where to line up, run around, timeout.
That's true.
You know, people yell at each other, pointing. There was zero of that. Everybody knew where they were supposed to be. They went out there, they executed, they got stuff done.
Promising. Special teams, I thought Bookstore was solid. He didn't he wasn't asked to do a whole lot, but what he did, and that's good. And then punt returns had some good ones. I remember.
Yeah. Again, the number two punt returner is that Keontae Scott, that JUCO defensive back that we got, and I thought he looked really good. He's aggressive and aimed good at catching the ball, so I kind of like him in that role going forward. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. So we feel like it was a promising. You know, again, I think the two things to take out of this were. Grain of salt, it's Mercer, but potential, promising.
Again, it wasn't an A-plus performance, but it was solid, and there's some things we can go correct. But you're right, it's Mercer. But it's also, they came out, they executed, people knew where they were supposed to be, there wasn't confusion and, you know, people running the wrong direction and that kind of stuff. So,
as Tommy Tuberville once said, it ain't going to take a great one, it's going to take a good one, but we'll take a great one. Woo! And does anybody know what game he said that right before? Ooh, chew on that one for a minute. So we got the San Jose State Spartans. Who? I believe that's correct, right?
That is correct.
What is your profession? I used to have that on the soundboard. Remember back in the day when Michigan State got us into the national championship game by beating Ohio State? I had 300 quotes all over this soundboard.
Now it's awesome. Kingdom of Heaven. 300's out.
Yeah. 300 is old news. All right. So I know nothing about them other than that their quarterback played for Hawaii last year. Is that right?
Yes.
That's the only thing.
So they're not great, but they're much. I'll say this: they're not great, but they're better than Mercer. Okay, they play in the Mountain West with Boise and San Diego State and those teams. They went 5-7 last year. They played one Power 5 team, and that was Southern Cal, and not a good year for Southern Cal. And Southern Cal beat them 30-7 in a year where Southern Cal fired their coach. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, they beat Arkansas when Chad Morris was there, got him fired. But this year's team, not great. Sagarin has them 93rd in the country, but still about 10 points better than Mercer. But last week they played they also played an FCS team and not a great FCS team, Portland State, and they beat them 21-17. And Portland State's defense gave them all kinds of problems. They replaced a lot of their skill position guys from last year's team. They have a quarterback who was the starter at Hawaii last year, was part of the big exodus from that program. So they have some and guys that transferred from other smaller programs. So they, you know, they have some transfer guys, but they're better than Mercer, but they're not good. I'll say that. They're much better than either one of the teams who played at the beginning of the season last year.
Mm-hmm.
Much better.
John, I had forgotten this entirely, but as I was looking for the old Spartan sound clip, I found something that's labeled. Well, I'm just going to play it. I honestly do not know what this is, but it seems interesting, and I'm going to play
it. Oh, here we go.
It's San Jose Hate Week 2022.
It can't be 2 weeks in a row.
It is. It's San Jose State Hate Week. It's San Jose State. It's San Jose Hate Week. Wow. I'm going to go ahead and delete Mercer. I don't have any room left on the soundboard anyway. So there it goes.
We need a ruling here. We can only have one hate week per season.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Can every week be hate week?
Well, I mean, because there's this.
It's Western Kentucky Hate Week 2022.
Yeah. I don't know if we need the submarine klaxon in game 11 or whatever. Game 11.
Oh, no. Well, apparently we have options is all I'm saying. We have a hate week for San Jose State, and we have a hate week for Mercer. So, and we have a hate week for Western Kentucky. You'll notice I picked the ones we're most likely to win, although there's no guarantees, to be honest. I'm just going to go ahead and do the ceremonial deleting of the Mercer clip. It's still going to be in the files, but I'm deleting it off the soundboard. Here it goes.
Pour one out.
There it went. And now I'm going to insert San Jose hate week.
While Van is installing that, I just want to say we're going to beat San Jose State. We're going to beat them by 20, 25 points, something like that, 35 to 10, something like that. But it'll be, again, this is a better team than Mercer and a better team than the two teams you played last year, and it has helped us get ready for Penn State playing them. So, but my biggest thing is based on what Portland State did, I expect our defense to cause them all kinds of problems. Getting in the backfield, disrupting things, sacks. I want the defense to cause some turnovers this week. That's what I want to see in this game.
This is going to blow your mind. I'm trying to set the button color. This may cause an irreparable rift to the AU wishbone. Because I just found... I remember doing Mercer, and it's been on the soundboard for weeks because we played it a couple of times. But guess what I just found? And seriously, I did not know. Guess what I just found?
I don't know.
It's Penn State Hate Week 2022.
No. I'm saying no.
I just scratched the record. It's just ruined now. It's hopelessly ruined.
All right. Again. We will be fine. We will learn more things about this team before we play Penn State next week. That's what I expect.
All right. Let's see. We played them before, I feel like, a couple of times.
Three times and beaten them solidly each time.
It was not much. But, okay. All right. I guess we should pause for a second to recognize our patrons. I have to say, as a quick Dragon Con update, and I'm not going to drag this out very... I'm not going to drag this con out very long, but I just want to say this. We sold a few books, sold a few of the basketball books, sold a copy of We Believed, as random Auburn people came up and said, oh, hey, that was cool. I don't know that anybody that bought the Auburn books this weekend was even like a Wishbone listener. It was just random Auburn people that were there. You know, they came to like the football games or whatever, and they came through Dragon Con. They saw it and they said, oh, I'll get that. So I sold several of those. And, but Auburn Elvis was there. That was awesome. And he came to my reading on Sunday, and that was really cool. But I had a number of people come up and say that they listened to this show. I had a surprising number come up and say they listened to Andy and me on the Babylon 5 podcast. It was just really cool because Jared and I are like at the end of a row so that we get like the front space but also around the side. So mm-hmm. We see people from two different aisles, two different directions, like an L. And so we're really visible out there. And so we just had a lot of people come up and compliment the show, our show, the show that Andy and I do. Somebody complimented Jared on Guess the Game, which was awesome and well-deserved. And we had Kathy Bright there all weekend. She was there helping Jared mostly. She didn't have to help me as much this year because I kind of had a better situation this year. And then Alan J. Porter, who's on the Bond show with us, was there with us all weekend too. So it was a nice little, there were the four of us just kind of hanging out and selling books and having a good time doing stuff all weekend. And again, like I said, a lot of Auburn people came by and I saw, everybody's favorite Dragon Con guest comes by. And I had lunch with him on Monday. 8-Ball the Tiger.
Nice.
8-Ball the Tiger was there.
He's one of my. Any cocaine or?
He had some plastic bags, but he wasn't going to tell me what was in them. I just assumed it was like he was going to do some laundry later or something. But yeah, I got to have lunch. Mira and I had lunch with him, and there was one. I got to tell you really quick a funny story. So. He's just the nicest, quietest guy normally, right? He just is like, you'd never in a million years guess he was a troublemaker on Twitter, right? Making, you know, doing all that. And so I will not say what university he actually represents. It is not Clemson. but he represents one university in a southern state. And we were hanging out with some other people on another track in between panels just talking, and this old guy goes, I went, and he said, yeah, so-and-so and I both went to the same school. And we're like, which one was that? And he said the name of the school, and it was the other big school in that state. And 8-Ball just leans over and goes, I understand. You couldn't get into my school. And I'm like, oh, he does have it in him a little bit, you know. He does have a little fire in there, you know. It's not all reserved for his Twitter account. So I dearly, dearly, dearly love him. He's so fun to. I've seen him every DragonCon for like the last 6 years, at least. But yeah, Mir and I had a good time, and it was great. And if you got to come by, then I'm glad I got to see you. And otherwise, hopefully, we'll see you next year because I don't plan to stop going. Let us thank the patrons who make our program and things like that possible. We do not have ads. You don't have to endure 10 minutes of chicken wing talk or anything like that. And I did make a resolution because here's the funny thing, John, someone suggested that maybe we don't need to make our thank the patron segment any longer. Maybe it's kind of maxing out. And the person that said that was a patron who I mentioned on there. So they had right to say that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try to not let it get any longer. Even if the list gets longer, I'm not going to drag it out any longer. So let's do it. www.auwishbone.com. That's all you got to do. Go to www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button to become a patron. You can put whatever name you want and I'll read it as long as it's not profane. And if it's a soundboard clip that I have, I will play it. Here are our great, great, beloved patrons. Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crockham, Ann Kanjian, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Master Sommelier at
Joel's Barbecue and Foot Massage, Joel's Barbecue and Foot Massage,
Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, been talking to Willie this week about our coming up game that we're going to go to this fall, 76 Tiger, I was men's room attendant. Chris Hilton, assistant manager, fired me at
Joel's Barbecue and Foot Massage. Joel's
wow.
Barbecue and Foot Massage.
It's like there's a soap opera going on at that barbecue and foot massage place among our patrons. They're all working there and firing each other. It's crazy. Ben Bloodworth, Chris Hilton, assistant manager at
Joel's Barbecue
oh my
and
gosh,
Foot Massage.
This, we're gonna have
Barbecue and Foot Massage.
John, we're going to put a moratorium on Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. I will not do more than 3 drops of it anymore. All right. Chris, did you have a comment?
No. We're lumping all the employees together next week.
Yeah, there we go. That's a good thought. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, Jacob, and Robin Fleming. I wish they could have come by. They came by a couple of years ago, and they're such a nice couple. They're so nice. I think they just had a youngin' though, so they're probably busy. John Otsuki. oh crap! I hate when this happens because I wasn't expecting it. John promises a pass rush.
You lied to me. Release the hounds.
Fair.
Yeah, you know. Catherine England.
They'll be here any minute.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Monty. Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B. No one fights like Gaston. Algo, Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Robo Harzen, Sarah Brown, Steve Harlan, Theodore Geary, There Goes Davis, War Eagle Always, Warhammer 6, WDE Richie. Russia, number one. Bama, number one. Iran, number one. Okay, we got it. Wes Atkinson, this is a good one. When toe meets leather. Indeed. William Morgan, Wilson Beard. I'm getting choked up. I drank my drink too fast, and now I don't have anything to drink. Let me say it again. When Carol realized there was Auburn football this weekend and said...
Good. Yeah. Good. Now we're having fun.
There we go. That's a new one. Just for Wynn. Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Caron, Boris the Tiger, who's looking forward to winning another pick'em, Brandon Smith, Carter Glouse, Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darris Benton, David Simpson, Dibama, Everything School, Helping Van Upgrade His Insulation, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. There you go, at the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. Very good. Mark always lets me do insert favorite sound, so this week it's going to be...
Oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
Indeed. A.J. Herman.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Alex Nguyen, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshoe, Ben Riggis, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Colonel Dad, Woo Pig Suey Razorbacks. Interesting. Okay. Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, work, hard work. Amen. Elizabeth Donald.
Certainly.
Nope.
And we got to get better at celebrating.
There it is. I want early access to the basketball book. You got it. If you haven't gotten it by now, then you didn't get the memo. Everybody's got the basketball book now that's ordered it. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht. He didn't make it either. Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schenker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains.
Someone knows. God knows.
AKA Auburn Dad for Life. Mark Squire, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright, who must not have been.
Your love of the halfling's leaf has clearly slowed your mind.
No, because she did not slow her mind at all. She was very busy and very helpful all weekend. Paul Bankson, Richard Ryder, who I prefer to think of as Nova, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther. Hey, I actually tweeted out a picture of myself with Ruth and Darren Sutherland. They were there. They came by and they visited Jared and visited me. Somebody, after like the third picture like that, somebody said, I feel like this is the sound, this is the thank the patrons going out. Spanky, being at the bottom of this list is like the...
The 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
And we're not in that time slot next week, are we, John? No, we're not. Okay, we're probably like late again, another night game. Okay, that's fine. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson. We're 1-0 on hate weeks in 2022. Can every week be hate week? Well, I did my part. John is rolling his eyes.
Strong objection to that.
All right. I did my part of making some hate week audio, so there you go. Brant Rumble, Chris, and our one-time and anonymous donors. I think that was a little faster than we've been doing it, so good. www.auwishbone.com. Click on the big orange button. All right. John, we actually have a Guess the Game that we've had for like a month now, and I, you know, either you didn't put it in the agenda, or I forgot about it, or we both forgot about it, or it's shared responsibility, but what it meant was that Jared was able to concentrate on Dragon's Con stuff and not have to do another one of these. He did tell me yesterday that he has like three more now that he's saved up, so we should have some good ones for the next few weeks. So here is this episode of Guess the Game.
Hello, Van, John, and the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Ulrich, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 62. Guess the Game 62 is brought to you by Paul Waddell. Let's see what Paul sent in for us this time around, and we're going to do it a little bit different. It's kind of a famous play, so I took a very small snippet for your first, and you'll get an additional snippet for your hint, and then I'm certain by then you'll have it. And I will play it in all its gloriousness in the answer file. But let's go ahead and listen to the first file.
Bringing everybody.
All right, guys. What'd you make of that? I'll see you in the hint file.
What?
They're bringing everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's not the Kick Six.
No.
Was that Brett Musburger on the call in the Oregon game?
Could it be the safety against Oregon? Remember where we came up short on the 1-yard line and they took over and then we stopped them for a safety? Or, I mean, Could it be the block punt against Arkansas in 2010?
It could be. I like that one.
I need more information.
His famous play comment is in my head, so.
Yeah. Well, there's the Florida 2006 where we got the Pontiac game-changing play of the year where we blocked the punt against Florida and Trey Smith caught it and did the backflip into the end zone.
Could be. I like that one.
All right. So basically that – all right. We could sit here all night trying to think, trying to name and guess punt blocks or whatever because that's what it sounds like. And it wasn't punt Bama punt because it was Brent Busberger and he was a teenager then or younger or not much older. But let's just go ahead and say that from that first clue, we feel like it's Musburger in an important game on a play that may be a punt block, right? Or something like that. But I don't think we can go any further than that. Unless, wait a minute, what about Nix to Sanders in Florida in 94? Maybe Florida's bringing everybody and Nix gets the pass off and it's caught in the touchdown for the touchdown to Sanders? Maybe he was referring to the Florida defense.
I don't know. I don't think we have. I think we got to go to the hint file.
Let's go to the hint. Here comes the hint.
Okay, guys, here's your additional sound clip from the same play.
He caught the ball at the two. How he held it, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I'm confident you got it by now, but I'll see you in the answer file.
Well, I had the right combination, I think. I just had the wrong game.
The wrong
season. Yeah, it's 93 it Alabama.
Nix to Sanders in that game.
It's Nix to Sanders in that game. So that's... If that is right, and we don't know for sure yet, but if that turns out to be true, it is pretty cool that we got the right two players, just the wrong game. All right.
Yeah. It was a good guess.
Yeah, let's see.
All right, guys, if you figured out that this is the 1993 Iron Bowl Nix to Sanders, then of course you've got it. You are good and capable Auburn fans. I want to thank Paul for sending that in, and if you want to send in an audio for Guess the Game, you can hit me up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artist, or you can email me directly. I am Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. And Van, John, usually I play my little outro theme, but for this episode, let's listen to that play as I fade away. Catch you next time.
Shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it at the two, and he dived in. The ball at the two. How he held it, I don't know, but he dived into the end zone, and Auburn's right back at the thick of it.
It definitely wasn't Antonio Langham. The whole reason that Nix threw it was that Langham went to the other side of the field and left Sanders covered by a second string guy or whatever. So, well, anyway, that was cool. Thank you, Jared. And we waited like 3 weeks to get to play that one, and I'm glad we got to do it finally.
It was a good one because it was different. The amount of information we had was not great.
It was minimal.
We had to work with it.
And we were still close, so, yeah. All right, I guess that means...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Come on. Come on, man.
All right, so what have we got this week?
All right, we got a few listener questions. The first is from Wynn Carroll, who says, Gentlemen... Being both a degenerate gambler and a Dust Bowl dry out here in the Sooner State, I had no problem waiting for the conclusion of the game following meteorologist Aaron Murray's brilliant assessment that the storm was just a little blip and we should be back in no time.
Aaron Murray.
I was heartened by Tank's first run from the line of scrimmage to restart the game as it put Auburn over the spread and seemingly on a secure course for the game. However, that run was the only highlight of the rest of the match as I watched Auburn's lead dissipate as Drew's aggressive game plan seemed to tailor-made spoil both the spread and my evening. Aside from the Sky Masterson and Nathan Detroit's among us, did our defense display at the end give any cause for worry about the depth of our defense moving forward if the Bears could seemingly move down the field at will towards the end of the game? Win Carroll.
I did see somebody tweet that they had a bet and the first two had come in and they needed the third one and it was Auburn Mercer.
But again, we didn't cover. I think the spread. I think the weather had something to do with that. I do not think we played incredibly well. Again, we played the starters too long. I don't think we played great defense. I don't think we played great on either side of the ball after the weather delay. They had like half their yards and 10 points after the weather delay.
Right.
That's what I'm gonna say about it.
Yeah, they came out. Tank did a one off, and then we kind of like folded up the tent, parked the bus, and waited for the clock to run out. So
that's it. All right. Here's a listener question from Ben Bloodworth. Which is worse, and this relates to other non-Auburn games, traveling 2,500 miles to kick a field goal or traveling 99 yards to miss an extra point? So he's referring to the Oregon performance against Georgia and the LSU performance against Florida State. Because I know you didn't get to see those games.
I did see I saw parts of a lot of games, and I saw highlights of a lot of games, and I did get to watch I watched a lot of the Florida-Utah game. That was the most exciting game I saw this weekend. That was cool, although I totally called that Florida was going to intercept Utah on that last drive, and they did. What happened with LSU? That game I didn't get to see anything of. So can you give us a quick kind of a what should we look? Should we take?
We're going to talk about it in around the SEC, so we'll see.
Okay, all right, good. All right, well, then we'll do that, yeah.
All right, our next question, we got a question from Mark Sandy, who says you know, the craziest thing about the game Saturday was that Smoke Monday didn't get called for targeting.
can't argue with that.
All right. Here's a question from Josh Corbett, who says, should Ashford be the starter over TJ? After the performance I saw, I say give Ashford the nod over TJ because we know we have with TJ. Ashford gives them an element with his legs that TJ cannot. What are y'all's thoughts?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit. I think they're going to go out and do the same thing again this coming game that they did the first time. You know, they did against Mercer, and you know, just kind of see if things go differently this time, because it might be this time Ashford has two interceptions and Finley doesn't. You never know. So I think they want more data poured into the computer before they make any drastic changes, especially right before Penn State.
Again, I think you haven't been able to see Ashford because they don't let the quarterbacks go live in practice and scrimmages. Mm-hmm. So you haven't been able to see Ashford affected defense and make run away from people and make plays. So that was new information for them. But I also think, we'll see, like you said, we'll see in game two. But I would say in the big picture, the leash for TJ Finley got shorter.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think so that he. That, yeah.
All right. Lister question from friend of the podcast, Auburn Elvis, who says, dear John Evan, I don't have a question. I just want to say Dylan Cardwell for athletic director. There. End of message.
My wife saw him on Instagram, whatever, and said, has he got any clothes on? Because he was at the football game, and it looked like he didn't have a shirt on, but it also looked like he didn't have any pants on from the angle that they took the picture. So she's like, what in the world? Yeah. But he is very entertaining and energetic and cool. And I was so happy to see that the basketball team was back supporting the football team again. That's always good. I'm glad that they had that solidarity there, you know.
And then we have a listener question from Doc Crackham, who says, what improvements are you most looking forward to see on the field next week? And I got the call out from the listener about the pass rush thing. I want to see some of that. We did not. You know, Echo Leota was in the backfield a good bit, but I want to see – they came in with a game plan Mercer did of just quick passes, get rid of the ball very fast because they didn't want to sit back there. And they didn't want to try to run, and they didn't want to sit back there and, you know, try to take shots downfield. And so we need to do better at getting back there and disrupting the other team regardless of what their game plan is.
And we should be able to. I mean, that's
– yes.
There's no reason that the Mercer offensive line should have a better night than the Auburn offensive line or close to it. Yeah. No. Against our defense, it's supposed to be pretty much elite at this point. That shouldn't happen. So.
That's right. That's it for listener questions.
All right. Well, the last stop on our train.
Let's take a trip around the SEC.
You know, he's not 100%. Not 100%, but he was out there moving around. And
yeah, we're moving around through the SEC just like that. So, all right, let's look at what happened. Tennessee crushed Ball State. I saw somebody tweet, does Ball State have a chance? And everybody's like, no. No. But I didn't see any of this game either. So what did you take if you saw anything from this? I have an eye on Tennessee. Are they, like, suddenly back? Is Tennessee back?
No, they're entertaining. Great offense, no defense.
Okay, I'll take that. Missouri apparently looked good against Louisiana Tech, who's not usually a pushover.
Yeah, but I think Missouri's better, but it's marginally better, and that doesn't mean they're suddenly going to move up in the SEC East either. So
we better beat them is all I have to say. The Oregon-Georgia catastrophe. I mean, that one I did kind of go out of my way to watch the first part of, and it looked like for a while it was kind of even or whatever, right? That was when it was kind of even for a little bit, and then Georgia just started piling on and piling on and piling on. And
again, Georgia came out and played, you know, they there was people thinking they were going to have a hangover and that kind of stuff, or they lost too much. And I think the biggest thing is just Oregon is not the same team that they were when they were a national title contender team. They're a solid mid-level Pac-12 team right now. Yeah. They're not a playoff contender, and they don't have the lines or the skill position guys to go into a game with a team like Georgia and play with them. They just don't.
I mean, it says a lot about how far along Alabama and Georgia, how advanced they are. I mean, Ohio State and to a degree, you know, Clemson's been there, but Oklahoma's been there. But there's just a handful of teams that have kind of moved into this realm where they can really only compete with each other a lot of the time. And, you know, we have our day against Alabama, and other teams have their day against some of those teams. But it is just almost starting to feel like there's a Division Zero before Division One and then 1AA. And that's not fun.
Nope.
No, especially when it's them.
Amen to that.
They couldn't pick two worse teams to be the two that are, you know, the top of Division Zero. That's going to be my new thing, by the way. And I probably won't remember it again, but if I do, Division Zero. That's what I'm going to start calling them. It's like Division One, Division One AA, they're Division Zero. All right. Arkansas beat Cincinnati 31-24. So I had this down as a close game. And when we did the pick'em thing on it, I kind of went back and forth on it before I settled on Cincinnati just because they're a bigger name the last couple of years. But then I thought about it for a minute, and I thought, but you know what? Arkansas beat Texas, really hammered them, you know. And I just, everything I thought about kept making me want to change that pick, and I went back in and changed it. So, again, didn't see it. Anything you could take from it?
No, it was a really good game. It's two good teams. Arkansas played well at home. Cincinnati really misses the quarterback. You know, they missed a bunch of their guys that are gone, but their quarterback's on the Falcons, and the guy they have, and they had plenty of receivers running open, but this guy could not hit them. So that's the biggest thing. But again, they were in the game in the fourth quarter in Arkansas. So you're not a bad team if that's the case.
Depending on how good Arkansas turns out to be, of course, but yes.
Yeah.
The Florida-Utah game, 29-26. Again, that's the game I watched. I saw pretty much the second half of that game, and that was an exciting game. It was one of those games where neither team does a lot for three quarters, and in the fourth quarter, it's just a track meet back and forth. You know, it turns into 84 Auburn Florida State in the fourth quarter. Suddenly,
they got desperate in the fourth quarter, and the training wheels came off. So
yeah, exactly. And so it's like Utah went down and scored, and left, you know, 2 minutes on the clock. So Florida went down and scored and left like 45 seconds on the clock. And then Utah was going down and clearly about to score, and they threw an interception in the end zone. And when Utah got the ball back with 45 seconds left, I said, they're going to have to be dangerous here. They're going to have to live dangerously. And I said, I bet with the Florida defense and those players they have, I bet they throw an interception. And it got to the end zone before they did it. I was starting to think that I was wrong, but I was right. So, Texas A&M beat Sam Houston State with a huge weather delay, whatever. Ole Miss beat Troy 28-10. Is there anything we should take from that? Troy's not bad.
Ole Miss offense, again, bunch of yardage. Not bad.
But only 28 points.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Kentucky beat Miami of Ohio. Who cares? Vanderbilt beat Elon, and nobody cares. Even the Elon players are like, yeah, we honestly don't care. Mississippi State beat Memphis 49-23. So was this the air raid show again?
Oh, yeah. They were rolling up into the field. And again, this one had a huge weather delay in it, too, that affected the final stat. So,
okay. Alabama beat Utah State. It's funny that we actually entertained the thought that Utah State could make that interesting for 5 seconds, and they really didn't ever even get close to it. Right?
They won their small conference last year. They're not bad.
They're not bad, but there it is. Was there any Alabama player that you heard of that stood out or that you might have seen? Like, no. Is that quarterback still, whatever his name, Bryce?
Will Anderson, Bryce Young, those guys were all over it. So
yeah. South Carolina beat Georgia State 35-14, so there wouldn't be any big Georgia State upset there in the chicken shack.
No, but the quarterback I talked about, the transferred in from Oklahoma, did not play great. He was okay.
Oh, Rattler?
Yeah, he was just okay.
A Rattler in the chicken hut. A Rattler in the Zaxby's. I'm going to start calling South Carolina Stadium Zaxby's.
You can call it the chicken finger box or the three-piece box. Or I don't know.
Call it Zaxby's. I like that. LSU versus Florida State, and I believe Florida State won that one on a missed extra point. Is that what you were saying earlier? I did see some highlights.
Again, end of the game, LSU stops Florida State. Florida State punts. LSU guy standing on the five-yard line fumbles the punt. Florida State up a touchdown, recovers the punt, runs a couple of offensive plays. They're having the debate, should they let them score, blah, blah, blah. Instead, Florida State fumbles on the one-yard line. LSU picks it up. They go 99 yards in the last minute of the game, score a touchdown to make it within one, and then miss the extra point. It was like, beep, beep, beep. But again, they had multiple terrible special teams plays in that game. Their offensive line was bad. It was not a great performance from LSU.
And that was the last time LSU's kicker was ever seen alive again.
Yeah, he's in some bayou chains wrapped around him right now. But their best receiver, you know, was kind of semi-quit the team halfway through the game. It was an absolute mess. So,
wow. Speaking of whom, did the LSU receiver that came to Auburn play in our game much? I didn't really
notice. He played. I don't know if we even threw him the ball, but he played. I saw him.
He was out there. All right, good. I had to watch kind of the fast. I fast-forwarded through a lot of it, and I watched it as best I could, but I wasn't able to, like, study all the players on the field and everything, so I wasn't entirely sure. Let's see. So, and then Clemson struggled with Georgia Tech for a while. It's not SEC, but might as well be. Clemson struggled with Georgia Tech for a while. I did see some of that game. As soon as Clemson started pulling away, I turned it off. I didn't care. But it did mean that Clemson has issues on offense as well, and we'll see what happens with that. Week two, I guess about one of the only games of any note is Alabama at Texas. Alabama at Texas. And it's not like the Cotton Bowl for once.
No, they're playing in Austin, in their stadium. And Texas has a lot of talent, but Alabama's going to beat them by 30, so don't get your hopes up. But Texas is going to score points in this game. So it's going to be like 45-17 or, you know, whatever, something like that. Texas is going to move the ball, but they're not going to win. So
that's just the funny thing is that Auburn plays Texas a lot in the regular season historically. Alabama plays Texas in bowl games, so it's weird to see Alabama playing him in the regular season.
Well, and again, Alabama's first road non-conference game in 10 years.
That's crazy. That is absolutely insane. South Kakilaki at Arkansas. You got to like Arkansas there. It's a home game, right? Mm-hmm. Wake Forest at Vanderbilt. Oh, good Lord.
And Wake Forest is really good quarterback, just got cleared medically, so Vanderbilt's a deep doo-doo now.
Oh, boy. I have to go in and change my I'll have to go in and change.
Oh, I'm ruining the picks contest by releasing this information.
It's all right. I just changed it. Thank you. I just went in. That was my one upset I had picked, was that Vanderbilt would beat Wake Forest, but I just changed it thanks to that inside information. If it's wrong now, then I'm just going to call you up and say, John,
you
lied to me.
Yeah, well, at least the Hounds. Let's see. Missouri at Kansas State is interesting. That's a nice matchup. Yeah, I'll watch that.
I'm excited to watch some of that. Again, this is the noon window, those four games. I'm excited about that.
Appalachian State at Texas A&M, that's nothing. Shouldn't be.
Appalachian State played an incredible game last week against North Carolina. They scored 40 points on Gene Chizik's defense in the fourth quarter. But they are going to score 40 points total in this game against A&M.
So. I may tune in just to see that then. Tennessee at Pitt. I kind of like Tennessee there. I've never been a big believer in Pitt. Just haven't. I thought he was good in Inglorious Bastards, and you know. But other than that, I just
Ocean's 11. Yeah.
Yeah. Ocean's 11, of course. Samford at Georgia. I thought that's like Georgia plays in Samford. Hall of Stadium.
Samford at Samford.
Just I can't. Mm-hmm. It's just too complicated. So if If Stanford played Samford at Sanford Stadium, then how much wood could a woodchuck chuck? I don't know. It's just no. Yeah, that's not it. Oh, here we go. Kentucky at Florida.
My cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
Yes, the return of the lock of the week, because I know that Kentucky is good. I know that Florida is kind of a mystery, but Florida did just beat Utah. It's at Florida. But all of that aside, there is the law of gravity. There is the speed of light, and there is that Florida beats Kentucky.
It's fair.
There's also the law that Alabama beats Mississippi State, but there is the law that Florida beats Kentucky. So you can say, but, and I'll say, sure, but Florida beats Kentucky. And I will probably be right way more often than you are if you say the other thing. It's just That's a fact. These are facts. Central Arkansas at Ole Miss, who cares? Oh, by the way, Ole Miss, there is some small chatter that my family might be going to the Auburn-Ole Miss game, because my older daughter now lives about 3.5 hours from Ole Miss. And she's like, if y'all came down, we could all go down to the Ole Miss game. I'm like, So we'll see. San Jose State at Auburn, I've heard of them. We talked about that game a little bit.
7:30 Eastern on ESPNU.
All right, so 6:30 normal time on the U. Ah, I haven't watched that channel in years. Never anything on it. And the return of the Southern Fighting. Da, da, da. That's so awesome. The Southern Fighting is back. They will be playing the LSU Southern losing. Not so good. the Bayou losing. Wow. And then cap it all off at 11 o'clock p.m. Mississippi. If there's one thing in this world that is worth staying up till starting to do at 11 o'clock at night, it's watch a Mississippi State football game, John.
Mississippi State at Arizona. Arizona, surprise winner last week, beat San Diego State. Everybody thought they were going to lose. They got some transfers in and look a little better. So this game might actually be entertaining. Now, it's 100% going to be, you know, me falling asleep on the couch with the TV on, entertaining, but.
Yeah, it will. We'll see. And then you have a non-SEC game to watch.
Louisville at Central Florida Friday night. Louisville might be bad, but it's a chance to see the new players on UCF, and it's a Friday night game, so.
This is the Central Florida Golden Knights report.
John says to watch Central Florida play Louisville on Friday night.
This has been the Central Florida Golden Knights report.
It kind of got messed up because the audio had gotten knocked down. That sucks. It works better when you just go right into it. But anyway, I don't know. All right, well, I'm going to watch that for sure, because you got Gus, you got Central Florida, you got a coach we love and a fan base we hate at the same school. It's funny. And then you got Louisville, who can usually make a game entertaining in various ways. So that'll be fun. Yeah, and it's on Friday. It's the only game in town, literally.
That's it.
I'm there. I'm down. I will watch it. All right. I think that gets us to the end of our agenda for tonight. Do you have any closing thoughts for the folks?
Man, here's my closing thought. There's a lot of hate in this world.
There is.
There's a lot of hate weeks in this world.
Yes.
But what we need more is love. Less hate weeks, more love. That's what I'm saying.
It's San Jose Hate Week 2022.
It officially is underway. It is officially underway. And that is what is best in life.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
Of San Jose State. Yes. There it is. All right, John. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Where are you, John?
Where are you, man?
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.